Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome to Beyond the Blockchain. Happy to be here with you on another Tuesday night. I'm Scott Tindall, joined as always by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny.
Greetings and salutations.
How's your Tuesday?
I am good, man. Got a new Aura ring.
Nice.
So I'm keeping my biometrics to see if my sleeping is good. And okay. So far, not so great.
Well, we'll have to do some research on how you can fix that. There's a lot of data out there right now.
Yes.
And the more technology we have, the more we see.
Well, I'm supposed to get a baseline to figure out, like, what is my sleep baseline. So that's a couple weeks. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right.
Sleep is important, though.
Do you find that you have anxiety of going to sleep knowing that you're being monitored about your sleep?
It's too new now. It's still too new.
Okay.
It's less than a couple days old.
Right.
So
figuring out. It'll be interesting to track that as we go.
Yes.
It's another Tuesday night full of AI news, robotics news, some weirdness along the way. Actually, it's kind of weird all the time. But Johnny, what's going on in the news this week?
Okay, WhatsApp is now offering usernames for chat. So instead of your phone number, you have to go and just like the early days of Twitter, the early days of emails, you better go and get Scott Tindall at WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So while they say it's really great, because it's replacing a phone number with a name.
Sure.
They keep thinking it's a great thing for privacy, but scammers can also get.
Yeah, it's like going back to the days of AOL Instant Messenger.
Instant Messenger, correct. And so the whole thing is, it really is a huge thing for scam upgrades. So again, be very careful.
Well,
but go get your name.
And go
reserve your name at WhatsApp.
Yeah, so. I think most people in the South are probably not using WhatsApp very much.
No, I know a lot of military people use it.
Yeah, it's good for international conversations.
And it's encrypted, correct? Encrypted, except for NSA and Palantir. But
yeah, I mean, what is really encrypted anyway? Right. What does that word mean?
All right, the second story is, this is big. Apple has been really good at being private, but one of their supply chain partners leaked 630 gigabytes that has to deal with the new iPhone 18 Pro. So it dropped test photos, real stories, supply chain security, and it cracked through the contractor. So seriously, that's a major fail for Apple.
I mean, what's 630 gigabytes between friends?
630 gigabytes of classified information.
Yeah, no big deal.
That's a big deal for Apple, though, because they really do play this game of like,
oh, yeah.
It's your data. You do it what you want, but again, the weakest link in the chain, right? It's a contractor, and so the contractor got hacked.
We'll see what happens as they move more of that back on shore, as they say they're going to do over the next several years.
Story number three, the 1X Neo home robot is available, Scott.
Okay.
For $500 a month. And now here's the part that gets a little tricky. It's not Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons.
That is
an autonomous.
It's not autonomous yet.
It literally is a remote human on the other end of this, like a drone.
Yeah, like a drone operator.
Cleaning your house. So you are giving access to some stranger in some God-known country and now is walking through your house and seeing things and doing things.
Well, the easiest way to think about it is, what country can this company hire the cheapest employees?
Oh, yes, exactly.
That's who's cleaning your house.
I'm going to guess, let's see, Philippines, and I'm going to say India, maybe China, if we can, that's a lot of national security you're giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the point where I was like, oh, that price is so. Then I was like, wait a minute, it's not even an autonomous robot, it's a human on the other end.
No, looks at grandma's, looking through grandma's bills and gets her social security card
and also staring at your 14-year-old daughter.
Oh, gosh, I didn't think about that.
Yes, yeah, so bad.
No thanks. Hard pass.
So bad.
Hard pass on that.
Here's the thing, let's say it gets to Rosie the Robot and it is autonomous, but who is getting the feed from all the.
You got to assume its eyes are going to be transmitting information somewhere.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Woohoo!
Weird world, man.
All right. Number four, AI cracks mystery diagnoses. So it's actually doctors versus the machines. You always hear about this. But So OpenAI plus Boston Children's solved 7-year-old genetic cases. A doctor's second set of eyes were not replaced.
Right.
But it helped. And this is the thing we talked about early on. We're going to see AI give medical breakthroughs, probably more than a lot. Well, it also affects every one of us.
Yes.
So medical breakthroughs affect us a lot more than I would say economic things do or things like that. So that is the one of the things
that we can just do so many computations.
Yeah.
So fast.
And also works 24/7. Yeah. And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And then I skipped the story, but we're going to cover it in a later story, which is about Amazon said there's 43% less robots, accidents in their warehouses, which they're finding out it's kind of fake news.
Okay. Well, that'll be good. We'll expand on that and more when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Here with you on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Tindall with Johnny Gwynn. We're talking AI and we're talking robotics. Now we're going to talk about the internet.
What?
The intrawebs.
Yes.
But specifically, this idea that's floated around for a while that's becoming a little more real by the minute called the dead internet theory. Johnny, what is the dead internet theory?
Let's get in our Wayback Machine.
Okay.
We'll go back to 2016.
That was way back.
It was way back. And also stuff that happened, it feels like 100 years, not 10 years.
Yeah.
So the dead internet theory started as a fringe conspiracy on a 4chan adjacent forum in 2021, which tells you there's a bunch of wackos in the 4chan adjacent forum. The claim that most of what you see online isn't made by humans anymore. That was 2021. For years, it was tinfoil hat stuff, which we love. We love tinfoil hat stuff.
Of course we do.
Then 2026, and the data is in, Scott. More than half of web traffic is now bots. 3 of every 4 new web pages are AI generated, and the lean version of the theory stopped being a meme and started being a planning assumption inside of marketing departments. The web didn't get killed, it got optimized and SEO friendly.
Man, you know, it makes you think about things differently, right? Like, do you really want to argue with the robot on the internet?
Again, I don't want to waste my time. Well, what I would say, you know, the stereotypical wasting my time fighting some virgin in their mom's basement.
Yeah.
That's not even real anymore. It's a bot of a virgin.
Yeah. Now
their bot mother's basement.
Now they've got 100 AI agents that they're operating to argue with you on the same premises. They're 100 times stronger.
Well, again,
the mom's basement guys.
Somebody really big, this was like maybe a year ago. And they wrote something on X. And I want to say it was like Grant Cardone or somebody, something like that. Mm-hmm. No, I know what it was. It was something to do with Mark Cuban.
Okay.
Okay. It felt like a real Mark Cuban political text. I mean, X that post that he did. And then I kind of wrote and said, you know, why? It was a fallacy, right? Mm-hmm. Here was my point of view. And within seconds, it had this perfect answer back. It was about capitalism, and I had been at a mom-and-pop record store, vinyl record store, and it gave me the argument back to me. What would you tell that mom-and-pop vinyl record store about supply chain, something, something, something? And I was like, wait a minute. First of all, Mark Cuban would not respond back to me that fast, nor would it be this perfect response based on something I posted 2 hours earlier. And I was like, that's a bot. And I said, I'm not answering back to anybody ever again on X.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, you got to think people like Cuban have the earliest version of the bots before any of the rest of us do.
Yeah. Again, it's fighting back with his point of view based on the logic of a bot using your own hobbies and quotes as the ammunition against you. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why that's that whole thing of like, why would you waste your time arguing and fighting people like this?
All right. So I looked up some more numbers.
Okay.
We were going to talk about this. All right. So you talked about the fact that over 51% of web traffic now they think is from bots.
Yes.
All right. This is good. 54% of LinkedIn long form posts.
Oh, yeah.
AI generated.
Of course
they are. 64% of X accounts are likely bots.
Yeah, totally. But that was already a problem before Elon Musk even bought it. That's why they quit.
It was probably much more than 64% before he started purging. All right. So then this is all happening like before the era of agentic AI, right? Remember, agentic AI, listeners, is this idea that we can take this the concepts of generative AI and apply it to agents who can operate autonomously through basically rules that we give them. All right. So since the AI surge, AI-driven traffic is up 187% in 1 year, and autonomous agent traffic is up 7,851%. I'm sure this data is at least several hours old. I'm sure that those numbers are higher.
Okay, wait. So explain autonomous agent traffic up. Is that bots clicking clicking clicks?
Yeah, this is agents where someone has set up a rule for the agent and then allowed it to just run through the internet on its own, burning tokens all along the way.
But I get it, because when I use a scanner for whatever I'm using on Claude, like especially for trade, for trying to find stock opportunities, using scanning social media and scanning websites, that's clicking, clicking, clicking very fast through many, many pages. And that's probably thousands of clicks right there in that 2 minute scan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's where the clicks come from.
That makes total sense.
So folks, if you see a surge in your web traffic, but you're not seeing a conversion in your business, you're probably just getting, scrolled by bots that are trying to get information.
So roughly what was a conspiracy theory has been proven true.
What conspiracy theory has not been proven true in the past several years?
It's batting 1,000% in things that were seen as fringe, conspiratorial theory, tinfoil hat wearing people ideas. And now pretty much been more likely than not likely.
So we talked about MK Ultra on the show several times. All right. So today somebody testified in front of Congress that said it's highly likely that, we've already talked about this, that both Charles Manson and the Unabomber, Jack Ruby were all MK Ultra.
Yes.
And the question was, and when did we stop with this behavior? And the answer was like,
when do we stop? No,
it just
changes.
It just changes.
It changes the vessel. It changes the way the medium. The thing that I've been reading a lot is, it's so fascinating. Again, much I love rock and roll and rock and roll history. They pretty much say like especially the California sound, like Laurel Canyon, all those people from Laurel Canyon, Beach Boys, and especially the hippie movement with Ken Kesey and Robert Hunter, lyric singers from Grateful Dead, lyric writers, was all MK Ultra, and it was trying to make a whole generation become kind of revolutionaries. Like acid, all that stuff was programming for a new way of looking at America.
Yeah, they also say that it could work both ways. Like if they could make the hippie movement look extreme, then it would give the government more authority to crack down on alternative lifestyles.
That's called an agent provocateur. So you plant someone in the movement, and when they march, the agent provocateur is the one that throws the rock through the window, because now we can impose martial law. So your own person, your agent provocateur, is the one that actually starts the violence, because then you give yourself cover to be able to bring in the heavy hand of the government. Yay. So now think about this. You don't need people anymore. Let's go back to the bots, right?
Yep.
Now you just get
the bots riled up in online bots, forum.
And it looks like the world's on fire, which I'm not saying the world's not kind of in trouble, but it's never as bad or as good as you think it is. But the idea of what those bots are doing now would alter your perception of a movement, of a stock, of anything. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a whole thing too of like bands. There's a band called Goose or Geese. It's like it's Geese. And again, it's actually smart marketing. So it was a band that was up and coming, and they filmed a small movie about them. And then what they did was they paid these engagement farms, which in TikTok and Instagram. And what they did was they cut up that movie, and they used thousands of fake, or they paid for thousands of profiles to share those little snippets like fans were doing it.
Yep.
Well, this band became really big because it caught on because they lit the fire. You know, they lit the fuse. So again, we go back to this thing of be careful what you read out there. I will say one thing though, I don't really mind the AI generated like LinkedIn post if they're good. You still have to go back and make them good. They got to be good bits of information. They've got to be something I want to read. I mean, that's the thing. Most people don't even read what the bots that the AI is making. They just throw it up there.
And they just keep scrolling past it. Have you seen the thing that's trending on the internet where this guy's basically, it says when you've spent too much time with AI, and he's talking like AI.
Oh, yes.
Somebody's like, do you want to get something to dinner?
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
That's fantastic. And then you go, what would you have? And you say, well, I'll get a margarita. That's a great choice. That's a perfect choice for the moment.
He says, can you just act normal? And he goes, you're right to push back on that.
You're right to push back on that. Yeah. Again, I have to tell my AI agent to constantly fight me because I keep thinking I know more than I do. And I need that person, that thing to say, dude, take two steps back. It's not as good as you think it is.
Yeah.
But again, there's a way to prompt it that it kind of does that, but it still kind of falls back in that trap of wanting to make you happy.
Yeah.
Wanted to placate you. And again, that's just as dangerous as someone that wants to argue with you.
probably more dangerous.
Well, again, you start having a false sense of hubris, right? You start thinking, man, I really am a great writer, even though I've never written a book before.
Right.
Which I'm finding out a lot about.
See how good I am? Look at all this compliments I get from my AI.
And in the next segment, we will talk about something else I'm working on that I got some humble
pie. I'm excited about this.
I got some humble pie get given to me by some people who said, Don't call yourself a songwriter because it doesn't count. So we'll cover that in the next segment.
That's fun, though.
All right. Let's go back to the bots thing.
All right.
There's a thing called, Moltbook. Okay. This is an interesting thing. It's a Reddit-style social media. Okay. Right?
Yep.
But no humans are allowed to be in it. It's thousands and thousands of bots talking to each other. All we can do is we can watch it. We can monitor it, but we cannot participate. So they have their own. So they have their own internet.
How do they know I'm a human?
I don't know. It didn't say that. It says the bots built their own internet. They're talking about us behind our backs, and they're catching each other faking engagement. There's a working prototype of the dead internet, and we're not invited.
That is interesting.
Yeah, you're right, though. You know what? They probably go into that if they suggest, like, if they think the bots think you're not a bot, they go into that weird language, and you can't talk back. You'll go, I don't know what that thing just said.
That's how they get us.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, that's how they get us. We are giga minutes or giga seconds from the Matrix, where we're just batteries for the machines.
May already be.
we may already be batteries for the machines.
That's why the bots aren't worried about water usage. They're like,
we're not
worried about the water.
No.
I did see a really cool thing with a scale of how much water is used by AI data centers compared to other things.
Yep.
We've talked about it before.
We've done reports.
60 gallons for one almond.
Yeah. Grapes. You look what grapes are. Again, if the anti-data center people really wanted to get serious because of the water usage, they wouldn't allow us to water our lawns or do lawn care. Lawn care by far blows away anything of water usage in this country.
Yeah.
It's very American to have a pretty front yard.
It sure is.
I'm not going to denigrate it because you are paying for it.
That's right.
I think we have ample water where we are down here, though. Where we are, ample.
Ample.
Considering my roof has had to be fixed 3 or 4 times in the last couple of weeks because of a messed up fan. I mean, sorry, a cover for my fan.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much trouble those covers are because they don't really fit an existing fan. You have to get the whole contraption done. But that's a different story.
Speaking of getting the whole contraption done, did you see where Trump signed an executive order that you can fix your own car? California was trying to prohibit people from fixing their own cars.
But again, what do we really own in this country? If you pay off your house, you don't own your house because you still got to pay the property tax. And see what happens when you don't pay for 10 years? They take away your house. You buy a car, you can't even do certain things to your car. The simplest thing, you can't have a certain darkness on your window tinting. Just think about that.
Yeah,
you cannot. I get why. I get there's a safety thing, but the same thing though is land of the free. Kinda. you know, less than 30 grams of darkness. I don't know what a darkness, I don't know what a gram of darkness is, but it sounds like some metal band or something.
Gram of darkness.
Grams of darkness. So long story short, the internet is still there. It's just populating more and more and more. I will give you a anti-bot podcast because it's humans usually doing the podcast mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that?
And radio shows like this.
That's right. No bots here.
Yeah, that's right. So they do help us make the show.
Yeah, they do. And we do help them pop in from time to time.
Yes, they do.
All right, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll see you next. And when we come back on the bottom half of the show on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
In this bathroom mirror, I'm such a wreck. 1:30, what the hell is on my neck? At 55, I thought this would end. What am I, 16 again? Some heal in a week, some last for years. Some can hide, some you'll always wear. Hickeys and scars, hickeys and scars. Love sucks, just a matter of how much.
All right, Scott, have you ever heard that song before?
That's the first time for me.
Do you know who wrote that song?
You know, it sounds familiar-ish.
Okay.
But no, I don't.
Do you know the band that played it?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. It has a feel of like something that, but I can't put my finger on it.
So I wrote the song.
Nice.
It came from me listening to a biography of Warren Zevon, which is the writing style is based on Warren Zevon. His famous song is Werewolves of London.
Yeah, okay.
But he writes this kind of comic, kind of serious music. It's got a very kind of dark sense of humor to it.
Sure.
So the song Hickeys and Scars,
it is.
Luck sucks. It's a matter of how much, because it's, you know, how bad, you know, love hurts. So it came from reading the Warren Zevon book, and one of his musicians said something and about scars and hickeys and love sucks, whatever. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea for a song. And so it literally came from an idea. I worked on it with the lyrics with Claude Pro.
Mm-hmm.
For about two hours to get it right.
Okay.
And then back and forth. And then I used 11 Labs. And then I prompted what I wanted it to sound like.
Okay.
And if I ever had the chance to perform it, I don't have the greatest singing voice. So I had to make sure I created a voice where if I could ever do it, I had to make it something
in
close
your range
that I could do. Yeah. So it's that talk kind of, you know. Haggard kind of,
yeah,
you know,
that's like, right. That's the vibe
country.
I'm getting.
Yeah. So I made the song at that level of quality that would have cost thousands of dollars in a studio.
Yeah.
Right? Thousands. It cost me $20 a month to do. Not even $20. It's like.
So the music.
Percentages
all right. So
yeah.
Two things. One, you're a musician, right? So,
correct.
So
correct.
You have the background knowledge.
Right.
We talk about. You know, domain expertise a lot.
Like yeah.
You were able to do that in several hours. I am not a musician.
Right.
It would likely, I might could create something in several hours, but it wouldn't sound put together. But the tool, what tool did you use to put the music together? Did you play the music or did you use a tool to do the music?
Okay. So the tool that I use is that voice cloning tool that we use for Medjucate AI, which is 11 Labs, which, you know, used it before on the show.
Right.
We know a lot of our, you know, reporters work with 11 Labs.
They do.
But so we cloned your voice, we cloned my voice, and a lot of stuff we do, especially with voiceover work, we use 11 Labs. Well, 11 Labs, about 3 months ago, opened up for no more cost. Now, you use more tokens, don't get me wrong, because you're doing about a three and a half minute thing, you know, and it's still cheap. It's like, maybe a 3 minute song. Yeah, 3 minutes, 30 seconds is probably like 2,000 tokens.
Okay.
But I get 200,000 tokens for $20 a month.
Right.
So do the math. It's not a lot of money. It's like a dollar.
Yeah, a dollar.
Or is it a dime? Shoot.
No, 2,000. It's a dollar. No. No,
it doesn't matter.
It's 20 cents.
Yeah, 20 cents. I need AI to do the math for me.
Yeah,
so
20 cents.
So again, I kind of knew what I wanted to sound. So again, I knew what I wanted to sound like. But I will tell you, if you're a music lover, like a music journalist would do very well with AI, because mm-hmm. if you can explain what you want, right. it's better than knowing what you want but not being able to explain it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. I actually saw a meme of something similar, and it was, you'll appreciate this being a graphic designer as well, is it was this meme, this graphic designer was saying, well, I'm not worried about AI taking my job, because that would mean the client would have to be able to explain exactly what they want.
Oh, yeah.
Like, part of your job is to extrapolating help them. They're giving you, this is what mm-hmm. I think, and you're refining their idea, and you're really distilling it and telling them back, all right, what mm-hmm. I'm hearing is this. Is this what you want? Because clients don't know what they want.
Well, mostly they want something that's 20 years old, or it's a derivative of something else that's already there that's way too close. That's the problem. And a lot of logo work is kind of that way, because there's only a certain amount of shapes you can do that doesn't feel like something else. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, my God, there's so many logos out there. I mean, right. I've probably made 300.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just very difficult. Now, music is very, now graphic design is very pattern heavy. It mm-hmm. is. It's just how you change and change one thing of the pattern is what makes it kind of unique, not changing the whole thing. It's one little small part of the pattern.
Sure.
Music is very patternistic. And so I knew I wanted this kind of Americana feel.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot of it. And then what I did was I took certain inspirations or bands that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And now I haven't used Suno, and I haven't used the other ones that are in trouble with the AIA. RIAA.
Recording industry.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting sued.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Levin Labs did this thing where they are not getting sued, because they partner with these, like, they kind of like playing ball with the industry.
Yeah.
So I can't say, play a song like Tom Petty.
Sure.
It won't do it. It will say, no, according to our terms and conditions, you can't. Now, the workaround, you can go to other services and say, take a song like, Tiny Dancer by Elton John. Mm-hmm. What you can do is you could say, hey, I am using 11 Labs. I cannot say the name of an artist, and I cannot say the name of a song, but I want you to give me a prompt to get the result that I want from using Elton John's Tiny Dancer as the prompt, and yeah. now write me the prompt that doesn't get me in trouble with.
Yeah, and it might give you something back that says it's in the key of this, and it the is, time
and you can change all that exactly. And there's all that beats per minute, and then is in the key of G, key of A minor. But there's other things you can do too, like what instrumentation is there. So one thing I picked for that song was I want it to be sparse, because also I want it to be feel like a demo. Because let's say I took it to a band, you don't want to give it into this full like string section and everything,
yeah.
and organs and. Because you kind of want a band to help you find it, because that's when a really good band is happening. The band works better because three or four players bring all of their experience and knowledge to it. But when you do it to yourself, when you're really sticking into what you think you want. And I will say, you stay in your comfort zone.
That makes sense. I know very little about music or the
making
of music.
Hold on, you listen to music, though.
But I'm a consumer of music, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of it is, that's the thing I love about it. Now, songwriters that I know, him and Haw at me and like, this is cheating, you should be ashamed of yourself and that kind of stuff. But to be honest, I'm not a singer. I never want to be in a band again. I never want to spend the money to be in a studio again. And what I can do is, for fun and things that really fills my soul, I can work on a song that I have in my heart.
And you're also transparent about it.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, I don't hide this.
We're here on a radio show broadcasting to the public that yes. you used AI yep. to assist you in creating something, but it's still your creation.
And trust me, I spent hours going over fixing the lyrics after I thought I'd finished. And the AI does not do a good job of, I would say, in giving you unique, good lyrics. They just give you lyrics.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of context. They just kind of rhyme it to rhyme it.
Right.
What's nice is, though, if you have to do some like research, it does quick research for you.
Yeah.
And the, you know,
that makes sense.
But it's again.
And you're having fun with it.
I'm having a lot of fun with it, because it's something that was, even though I was enough. Look, if I was getting paid in a band, professional musician, I was a bass player. I never wrote the material. I might've written my parts, but I was not known to be able to even finish to writing a song, especially lyrics. Now I've done five.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're all great, but I'm getting better as I'm doing it. And I'm understanding how to do it, how to write a song now. I start with a hook, something that rhymes real well, and I start with the chorus first. Well, a chorus is three times repeated in the song. I'm one third of the song done when I just do the chorus. That's where I start now. Okay. And so, I mean, so it is a learning process of me doing by doing.
I like it.
And also, you can ask the AI to help you.
It kind of makes me want to write a song just to go through the process, the analytical, and it's like a side quest, right?
Yeah.
Like, life gets so mundane. Why not add new side quests and just like write a bad song, right? Well, and then the first song I write, I'm sure is going to be bad.
Well, I had a goal to
write anything
before the end of the year. I said I wanted to write a song, good or bad. Well, guess what? When I did it with pencil and paper, I wasn't very good at it, and nothing got done. When I started working with AI and Claude, I finished five songs, so I'm actually working on making that sound into a band and a band putting out a record.
I like it.
That's my goal before the end of the year, is to put that band out with at least 10 songs of my compositions in that style.
Well, we'll have to have a continuous update. Maybe not weekly, but depending on your progress.
Yes. Well, I got my song played on the radio, which a lot of people don't get the chance to do. So thanks, Sean.
Yeah. And, How many people have never had their song played on the radio? All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be back for Beyond the Blockchain.
Hickeys and scars. Love sucks, just a matter of how much.
Tomorrow I'm getting a dog. That kind of love only leaves hair all over the place. I'll even let them lick all over my face.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Here with you on a Tuesday night. Going to talk Beyond the Blockchain. Off air, Johnny and I were talking more about the hit song, Hickey and Scars.
Hickeys and Scars.
Hickeys and Scars.
Hold on. So I will say one last thing. I did another song called It's Not the Keeping, It's the Losing.
Okay.
No, it's not the losing, it's the keeping.
Okay.
Which is the idea of it's easy to lose something, it's hard to keep something.
All right?
That's a love song, right? And even my wife said, that's not as clever and funny as Hickeys and Scars, but it's just vanilla enough. I could totally see Morgan Wallen making that a big hit.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, perfect.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
I totally agree. It's just simple and basic enough. But it has a chorus that you can hum when it gets done. That's the trick of most good songs.
Next week.
Next week it will be Beyond the Blockchain. It's not the losing, it's the keeping.
All right. We're going to premiere it next week. All right, folks, you heard that. Next week we're going to premiere a new song. We're going to premiere a new song a week for the near future.
Yeah.
All right. Beyond the Blockchain today is a little weird. It's always weird. But tonight we're talking about the weird feeling you get in your gut. You just... No, yes. The phone rings and you just know it's going to be bad news on the other end, or, you know, just this premonition.
Yeah.
Something doesn't feel right. And there are some scientists that say that this could be information from the future leaking back into your current timeline.
So it's you in the future sending back messages to the earlier you.
But unconscious messages.
Unconscious message, like an energy pulse.
Right.
Like it's obviously like there's a disruption in the force.
Right.
Just like Star Wars. Yeah. So the idea is like there's disruption in the force. But this is someone in the future maybe rethinking about what happened at that moment in the past. And so it sends this thing. That's why your gut gets like butterflies.
But imagine if you're just getting all these false negatives from different timelines where it doesn't go that way.
Or maybe just a bad egg.
Yeah, it could just be.
But again, I'm already thinking, I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. So it's always a bad feeling with me, though.
Yeah, I think that's a personality thing, man. Sometimes I can get into that zone too.
And yeah,
you're just like waiting for everything's going too good right now. Something bad has to happen.
So either I'm really messed up in the future and just constantly anxiety ridden, and it's just constantly sending me back bad vibes. That's what happened. Always just bad vibe, bad vibe from future Johnny. Well, look, this is not a new story. This has been around a while. And a lot of people say it's hocus, this hokum, but I don't know. I kind of like the idea of it. I mean, I love so much, you know, like Time Cop and all those shows we grew up with that it's like, You know, you got to go back in the past to save the future. Which, I'll give you a one that I just watched a documentary of. It was Star Trek IV.
Okay.
And it was, I kept thinking it was it's the one with the whales.
Oh, yeah.
Saving the whales to save the future. And I kept thinking that was the really bad one. It actually is, so I watched it.
Okay.
It's not near as bad as what remembered. It's the next one that was so bad. It was Star Trek V. It was like The Search for God.
Oh, I didn't.
Or The Undiscovered Country or something. Now, that one, unwatchable. But IV, not so. But it was future people.
Yeah.
Not the same people, though. That's a little different. But sure. They had to go back in the past to save whales, to save the future. But this is saying you can save yourself from the future.
My answer,
or from the past.
My answer to all of these things, every episode is, I don't know, maybe.
Again, I keep saying I'm not smart enough to say yes or no.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. It's interesting.
Are you getting a bad feeling right now on this show? Don't do the show tonight. Y'all suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes you start to, go like, how do I get reverberations from good feelings? Yes, you should do this.
Again, why is it not sending back gut impulses of lottery numbers?
Yeah, and to make better decisions.
Yes.
Like, hey.
I like that better.
You know? Like, I think they call that discernment.
Yes, maybe.
But it doesn't speak as loud. It's much quieter.
It's always the trauma, not the joyful exuberance.
Yeah.
That kind of gets the gut going.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so MIT totally thinks it's hokum. You know?
Okay.
Now, they did not want to do an experiment or whatever. So what they decided to do was, maybe it's this idea of having more confidence in making decisions.
Okay.
It's something they wanted to work on. So what they did was they created an experiment where it's called the future you. So they'll take Scott Tindall, they'll do a battery of psychology tests, probably your history, your biography, and it creates a Scott Tindall from like 2045. And you interact as present day Scott with future Scott, and then you ask it for advice. And what it's saying is, while it's not the same premise as the idea of sending you a message from the future back to you, it's the idea of helping you be more confident in making decisions, because the older, more experienced, maybe more wise you says, I can see how that's a good idea for us. And so it helps with the decision making.
I think that's much more helpful than this theoretical idea of
the
reverberating messages.
The AI future me sounds more like a set of patterns and guidelines and baselines, with the idea of adding the idea of wisdom and experience to it, but it doesn't stray to, it's not alien to us to talk to ourselves, even a future self.
Right. If you have an internal monologue, which I learned, I think maybe we talked about it on the show. You know, some people don't have an internal monologue.
I know. I can't imagine
that. What does your brain sound like? Just hollowness, just empty space,
I guess that's the people that raw dog on an airplane, that just sit there and stare.
I guess so.
First of all, anyone that says that's a good thing, I'm sorry. There's no way that's a good thing. You look like a psycho. You look like you're psychotic.
At least shut your eyes and pretend like you're taking a nap.
Please. I mean, if I just saw somebody staring at the back of a chair for 4 hours, I would say that is a serial killer right there. That is not normal.
Yeah, that's fair.
Woo! Again, raw dog.
How did that word become mainstream?
Because it doesn't sound like what it is.
That's what it's
raw dogging sounds like. It's like X-rated to me.
Well, yeah.
Is it too? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the raw dogging I'm talking about is someone just mindlessly not looking at a screen and just...
Yeah.
Like in a waiting room.
Yeah.
At a doctor's office, not even looking at the screen, just staring forward.
That's how the term is used now.
Okay. Well, good. Good.
When the show's over, I'll explain to you the entomology.
How it got there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good, because we this is a PG-13 show.
That's true. Yeah.
So where are you on the gut? Your gut feelings are direct DMs from the future self of you living out the trauma of the decisions you've made in the future.
Maybe.
maybe. Again, like I said, dude, maybe.
I don't know. I'm not buying that one yet. I need more information.
No,
I need more information first.
I guess the idea is like we're all connected.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Time is like a construct that only we kind of have.
Look, I get
really.
The theory that could be possible based on quantum theory and everything can
but almost change. Almost anything is possible in quantum mechanics, but you just change the variables.
Yeah, and you just
splinter
over into a parallel universe where I didn't make that decision.
Yeah.
Or I did make the decision.
Okay, look at me saying sounding like I had any idea what that meant. Quantum mechanics and we can just change the variables. I don't even know what that even means. I think I saw that on a Big Bang Theory episode.
It probably so. It'd be interesting to go back and look at Big Bang Theory science.
I watch it all the time. I love
it. We'll see. Start keeping track of any of the science.
Oh, right. Interesting.
Like how far ahead they were
of
mainstream.
Well, you know they had to have consultants on that show doing the math.
Yeah, man. So. Well, I think it's been a pretty good show.
Yeah, it has.
Always some interesting. I look forward to next week's new song.
Okay.
We're going to debut it for Morgan Wallen.
It's not the losing, it's the keeping.
All right. Sounds great. I'll see you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.